was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string and makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings as the night folds in. On a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. Folks, welcome to the show tonight. Tonight I have, we're going to be going over Pizzagate a little bit, some information that has come to light. We're trying to get confirmation. It looks as though some interesting information is surfacing on that entire story. But what we are going to share with you first this evening, it looks very well, if everything works out right, that we're going to be covering the Bundy trial in Nevada live. And I need your help to do that. So resurrectrepublic.com, rtrtruthmedia.com. Let you guys last night know there's a little situation going. We need to get some equipment and be ready to go. We need your support. So if you would kindly go to resurrectrepublic.com or rtrtruthmedia.com, click on that PayPal button and support our effort. It would be greatly appreciated. Tonight, live from jail, Blaine Cooper is going to give us an update on his situation as it has unfolded. It appears as though there is some at least misfeasance. Hopefully not, but it looks as though there may be malfeasance. It seems that way. Blaine Cooper had an attorney who convinced him to essentially lie under oath. That was the conversation that they had. Come to find out later that the attorney never actually reviewed the discovery because he never had the investigator complete his job in that case. So that's a very interesting development. I recorded an interview with Blaine Cooper, and I'd like to play that for you now.
Okay, I'm here. This is Tom Blackberry Stewart, Resurrect the Republic, video broadcast, on the line with Vaz and Blaine Cooper and a few folks, I think. I'm recording this interview. Go ahead.
You guys ready?
Yes.
Hi, I'm ready. How are you? This is Blaine Cooper, and I wanted to briefly go over what's been happening now. As you know, I entered a plea for 6 years with the ability to argue down. In my plea agreement, I found it was interesting. A few things have happened since then. One of them is which they do a pre-sentence report after you plead guilty to a plea agreement. And the pre-sentence report is done by a gentleman or a female who works for the court and who actually works for the judge. And what they do is they actually have influence over the judge to say whether what your sentence should be. In the pre-sentence report, I found it interesting. And it says, and I quote, this is what it stated right in the pre-sentence report from the person who has influence over the judge that works for him, impact the plea agreement, section 105. It says the calculations in the plea agreement do not completely comport with the pre-sentence investigation. As part of the government's calculation, the five-level increase is agreed upon as it relates to USSG 3A1.4 title terrorism. This guideline application specifically states, A, if the offense is a felony that involved or was intended to promote a federal crime of terrorism, increase by 12 levels, but if the resulting offense level is less than 32, increase to level 32. In each such case, the defendant, or, hang on a second, it says, notwithstanding the concrete application of USSG 3A1.4 A and B above, the government and defendant, in accordance with the plea agreement, have proposed a five-level increase pursuant to an upward departure provision as described in Application Note 4 of USSG 3A1.4, which states, you ready for this, by the terms of the directive to the Commission, in Section 730 of the Anti-Terrorism and Effective Death Penalty Act of 1996, the adjustment provided by this guideline applies only to federal crimes of terrorism. However, there may be cases in which, A, the offense was calculated to influence or affect the conduct of government by intimidation or coercion, or to retaliate against government conduct by the offense involved, or was intended to promote an offense other than one of the offenses specifically enumerated in 18 U.S.C. 2332 B.G. 5b or b. The offense involved or was intended to promote one of the offenses specifically enumerated in 18 U.S.C. 2332 B.G. 5b, but the terrorist motive was to intimidate or coerce the civilian population rather than to influence or affect the conduct of government by intimidation or coercion, or to retaliate against government conduct. In such cases, an upward departure would be warranted, except that the sentence resulting from the departure may not exceed the top of the guideline range that would have resulted if the adjustment under this guideline had been applied. So in other words, when I was taking the plea and pled guilty, the judge made it abundantly clear in the courtroom that she could punish me more severely or more leniently. And according to this provision, if the judge was entirely ill-intended and wanted to, could define this as terrorism and actually give you the death penalty.
That's insane. That's insane.
I couldn't believe what I was reading. At the end of the pre-sentence report, they actually asked for a sentence from the judge for 87 months instead of 72, which was what I agreed upon, was 6 years. 87 months would put me at about 9 years. So the judge can go either way. What's more is, you know, I had an attorney who was very, very ineffective. The attorney had not went over one piece of discovery in my case. Nothing. Not one. Nor did I see any of the discovery. The discovery is what the evidence is that they have to convict you. None of it was investigated. And the investigator in my case, which I did not know I had, specifically stated and had a signed statement when I had to sign the releasing from my case, had told me verbally as well that he had not been through one piece of discovery and investigated no aspect of the case. And I stated to him on video and said, am I to understand that my attorney has manipulated me into a plea before he investigated any aspect of the crime? And he says, yes, it appears so. And my only response to that was, wow. Another interesting fact in the plea agreement, it has a provision in there called official victim, USSG 3A1.2B. What I found interesting in the plea agreement, in comparing with the pre-sentence report, the advocate for the judge, in his report said that there was no identifiable victim. So with the, in the plea agreement with the six-point enhancement, you're actually doing double the time that you would have done on the plea agreement had there been a victim, but there was no victim. But they still charged me with a victim. Can somebody please tell me who the victim at the Bundy Ranch was?
Yeah, the cattle that got shot in the head and buried in a grave that the judge didn't authorize.
Okay, so in other words, my attorney did not even try to argue that aspect down. He completely railroaded me, so it's a huge, huge erroneous grounds for ineffective counsel. But I didn't know how bad it was until I got these reports. So now I'm in a catch 22. So here's the problem. Do I, A, file for ineffective counsel, get a new attorney, and try to pull my plea? The problem with that is, and this was stated to my from my attorney, he told me, because I was the first person that took a plea in the case, if I tried to pull my plea, the judge would not allow it, and they will hit me with a 6-point enhancement on the sentencing guidelines, and I will do 12 years instead of 6. That's if she doesn't give me the death penalty.
Oh, Lord. For being media, huh? That's what you get.
For waving an American flag.
Yeah.
So,
you never carry it.
But it doesn't matter what aspect of that. Nobody there committed a crime. The whole nation knows it. This is completely ridiculous. The federal government would abuse and use its power this way. What's more, is in the District of Nevada, this continues to be a problem among other people who come to the system, who are forced and coerced and manipulated in the plea deal before the attorney has had any variance of defending them. In other words, they don't defend them at all. They come through, they get them in the plea so they can get rid of their caseload and move on. So countless people who are innocent because they don't have money to get capable representation are used as pawns or cattle for their little game on a chessboard. And it's ridiculous. How many people are going to prison for victimless crimes who don't have capable defense or representation because they can't afford it? They are taken advantage of by public defenders who simply do not want to fight for their client's rights.
There's
huge grounds to pull the plea now, and I'll have to talk to him this week about this. But I want this to get out because if this is happening to a lot of people, then our prison systems are crowded and being flooded with innocent people, probably, who simply did not have anybody who wanted to fight for them.
Well, that would happen to have it.
No wonder our prison population is the highest in the world. Think about that. America, the home of the brave, the land of the free, who advocates universal human rights under the Constitution for all its citizens. And yet it has the highest prison population in the world. Do they really expect me to believe all these people are bad guys and need to be there? There is a huge problem in this country. And it's not the people. It's the government. But I'd just like to say WND and any other reporter has permission to use this statement. At this point, I'm going to be trying to file for ineffective counsel and pulling my plea agreement because I fear now that my deal will not be upheld. And
well,
I would like to go to trial to fight my case because I'm simply not guilty of the crime. When I told my attorney that if I plead guilty to this, I would be lying under oath. And he told me to lie under oath.
Well,
that it was in my best interest.
I think that...
Thank you for using Securus. Goodbye.
Well, we all know that this is part of the American Bar Association and its members. As much as we don't want to admit to it, I mean, the pretenders, part of the American Bar Association, the prosecutors, part of the American Bar Association, and the judges, part of the American Association. They violate all three branches of government, so where do you go for your due process?
Well, it's not become even deeper than that because these acts that they've passed, these laws that were sold to the public to be used to fight terrorists and were never intended to be used against the American people.
Houston Detention Center. This call is subject to recording and monitoring. To accept this free call, press 1. To refuse this free call, thank you for using Securus. You may start the conversation now.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, Blaine.
So anyway, what is one to do? I mean, when you don't have the money for good representation, and they send you some crackpot out of the Cracker Jack box to defend you, and he simply forces you into a plea because he doesn't want to deal with the case, or has no desire to try to prove your innocence, It's really sad. What's more, I was reading that the Due Process Clause in the 14th Amendment of the Constitution states that you cannot be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. So how does the federal government indefinitely detain American citizens for exercising the First and Second Amendment rights at a protest and indefinitely detain them in the United States federal incarceration system before they've even been proven guilty in a court of law?
Well, you know, I could answer that question, but most of our audience already knows the answer to that. But the answer to that question is quite simply that because of what happened in 1868, when 11 states' delegates were forced out of the ratification process, when they realized that it wasn't to free the slaves, many states jumped off of that 14th Amendment, because essentially what the 14th Amendment has done is made us all who call ourselves, speaking collectively for the citizens, 14th Amendment citizens, which essentially has converted them to a chattel form of property. Birth certificates created, traded on the open market, and commodities. It's just, this is a crime committed by lawyers on behalf of the corporation that many people call a country. It is not. It's a union of independent nation states. It's all propaganda. And we're just starting to really realize this when you see good American
people. Well, what's worse that I find very disheartening is that American citizens can be rounded up and put to death for waving an American flag at a protest, because under the 730, or under the commission in the directive to the commission in Section 30 of the Anti-Terrorism and Effective Death Penalty Act of 1996, people literally can be rounded up and put to death for waving an American flag.
Yep. Yep. Or setting a fire to protect their ranch.
If they were so inclined to do so. Now, does that mean that they're going to put me to death in this case? No.
But because
the fact that it's even written in a pre-sentence report anywhere for a case such as this, when everybody in the nation knows it was simply a protest and that there was no crime committed that day, everybody knows it. The president knows it. So why do they continue to destroy the lives of American people, specifically the people on this indictment, because the government's throwing a temper tantrum? Because,
well, the only thing that I can explain is that there's a new president in town coming, and from what we've heard from him about matters on liberty, it looks promising in some areas, maybe not others, but from what I've heard, Trump is supposed to stand by the patriots. So my call, I would just make a quick shout out to the folks over at Breitbart, WNT, to President Trump, to Dr. Wynn Parker.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they need to take an eye on your case here, and they need to really, a fellow who carried a
camera. Well, I would reach out to Donald Trump and ask him, and first congratulate him on his presidency of the United States.
Yes.
But in his campaign, he made a lot of promises to the American people, and that's part of the reason why the people elected him.
Yes.
And CNN, Communist News Network, and a couple others did do a report saying he's already retracting some of his campaign promises. And I would just opt to not do that.
They're spinning that up so badly. Don't listen to anything that they say.
Right.
Because
elected President Trump on hope that he was going to do the right thing for this country and the American people. And see that we have innocent people who are being destroyed and locked away in the prison system right now, being forced into police for crimes they did not commit. And I would ask Donald Trump to free us. It would be the right thing to do.
I agree. I can only promise you that I will reach out and I will send this recording onto his staff. I've been in communication with them a few times on matters. They reached out to us once, the folks in one of the states there, to get information on our research on the 14th Amendment and stuff like that when he was coming against immigration. So hopefully we will have an ear. I know they're real busy assembling his cabinet, but I'm
right. He made some amazing Michael Flynn and General Mathis from the United States Marine Corps. And
yes.
So it's looking really good, but right now we need to clean out the DOJ. And because clearly that this indictment, the way it looks is the president has overstepped his executive power and interfered with the judicial branch to have us locked up.
Well, he's taken more land, I believe, than any other U.S. president in history, out there in the West, especially.
I would also encourage people out there, these land grabs are interesting, and they seem to be originating from a provision under the Clinton administration called the Biodiversity Treaty. That also might be paired with Agenda 21 from the U.N.
Sure.
That is correct, with the New World Order and Agenda 21 coming from the state of Alaska. But most of all, the biodiversity is coming from suckling George Soros, Harry Reid. So we have
the Biodiversity Treaty is very interesting, and it talks about how the federal government was going to grab land and basically force the American people into the inner cities.
We have their employees on videotape. You saw it released. They were admitting to misusing money and misusing their power to essentially seize land from the American people. It's the destruction and abolition completely of private property rights, and it flies in the face of
anything. And to that, the land grabs make a lot of sense. If you notice, wherever there's resources, mineral rights or water rights, there's something the government can get over on the American people. And there's people living on that land. They're going to do what they can to remove them or kill them to get it. And we see it all the time. The federal government has a nasty track record of killing innocent people to get them off the land. We see that with the Native Americans. Millions lost their lives in the quest for domination over the land. And land
Look
is very
at, it's a pipeline.
Land's where all of our wealth comes from. That's where all of our resources are. Gold, silver, uranium, and other minerals that make the world go around.
Water. Look
but it doesn't belong to government. It belongs to people to use for beneficial use.
Look at what the EPA did to the Colorado River. Now you have these Native Americans that are standing on treaty out there at the Dakota
EPA. So a government agency was responsible for the biggest disaster, probably in American history in a long time, and destroyed the Colorado River.
Yep.
Look what's happening up in North Dakota.
No, the DAPL, you have, there's a lot of leftist interests that are in there that are mobilized, and I think that's part of the divide-and-conquer scheme, because you have a lot of patriots that are more than willing to stand with those folks as long as they stop the leftist nonsense. But there you have, essentially, regardless of whose side backs who, there's Soros is pouring his money in over there, too, for all the wrong reasons, but the right reason is that there's treaty law, and it appears as though the federal government is again made a promise that it doesn't intend on keeping, and people's lives and their water resources are in danger. And I don't blame them for protesting. I don't agree with the leftist tactics, but I don't agree with what's going on out there. But see, if a corporation wants to seize land and violate the law and violate people's rights, well, that's okay. But you have somebody like Cliven and Bundy that just wants to take care of his own and stand on his own rights.
He wants to raise his cattle and be left alone. That's what any American wants to do.
And
how would you and that be considered a crime? What's more, the very interesting about this that really I have a hard time wrapping my head around, how does cattle trespass on public land that is meant for the people? It says open range on the sign where he grazes his cattle. Period. They're allowed to be there. And so to that we would say, can birds be there? Can tortoises be there? Lizards and other wildlife? Can they roam free on the range? Of course they can. So why can't cattle?
Well, where rights are involved, no rulemaking can be allowed.
And how does cattle trespass from public land? It can't. So the entire idea behind this indictment is it is clearly an erroneous, disgusting abuse and display of power by the federal government. Travesty and miscarriage of justice should have never came into the United States courtroom, ever.
I agree. Well, more importantly, in your capacity, and specifically your case, you were media. You carried a camera.
you documented, you recorded, you got the word out, but in doing so, you didn't threaten anybody, you didn't intimidate anybody, you didn't keep anybody from doing their job. You essentially were media, independent media, but you were media, and that's the First Amendment protected.
And you can also tell in this indictment, they specifically targeted certain people with selective prosecution and judicial prejudice. For example, Stuart Rhodes played a huge role at the Bundy Ranch with Oath Keepers, but he did not make it on the indictment. I find it highly suspect the way the government has targeted certain people in this movement to lock them away because they are voices of influence and they wanted to shut them up.
Well, I wondered why they, they...
You got to silence the voices of people, of the people that people listen to. It's a great tactic the government has always used, and you see it being done here. There is huge problems with the indictment. Because nobody's listening.
Yeah. Well, I'm with
people
you on
that.
People
should be surrounded the jails and the courthouses. I mean, this issue goes well beyond this cattle. They're talking about the very essence of your right of free speech and peaceful assembly, and your right to carry and keep and bear arms shall not be infringed in the Second Amendment of the Constitution. This isn't about law. This is an attack on the Constitution.
It is. Well, that's exactly what it is. But that's been since its inception, my friend. Since it was inception, it's insane. It makes no sense at all. First Amendment protects you so clearly. I mean, Third Watch Productions, your media. Whether or not you sided with Clive and Bundy or not is rather irrelevant. That's
a matter of opinion, really, rather than a breaking of law.
Sure.
But Clive and Bundy didn't break a law either.
Nope.
I find it highly suspect that the government could be the victim in this. I don't know if people watched the videos from the Bundy Ranch, but I certainly didn't see American people attacking anybody. I didn't see American people tasing anybody or sticking canines on people. The federal government did that, throwing pregnant ladies to the ground, people with camps. It was a brutal and blatant attack on the American people, and specifically Clive and Bundy and his family.
Yeah, I agree, my friend.
Which is why I tell everyone, let's follow the money. Look at the corporations in which our corrupt politicians, like our legislators, our senators, our congressmen, have money embezzled in this through their hedge funds. And until people start targeting and realizing that their hedge funds is the biggest criminal organization they can have while they pass bills, they're basically doing inside trading from Wall Street using the minerals that belong to the people.
Folks, we will be back. Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network with Blaine Cooper from jail.
Hard like your parents both did. Everything you earn by breaking your backs. We're gonna redistribute when we make our big tax. Hey, sit back down, don't be a jerk.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Only a fool would go to a plumber for brain surgery. But otherwise intelligent people use internet searches to find such gems as Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK with 3 shots from the rear and 1 shot from the front. They get similar financial guidance when they are investigating cryptocurrencies. RBN listeners know that American currency has not been lawful money for nearly 50 years since the thieves at the Fed stole the silver out of the coins and began reneging on redeemable notes in 1968. Now that the dollar has just about inflated totally away and banks want reverse interest to keep your books, the high-tech world has brought you an alternative. What if you could buy, sell, and trade with fellow business people from your home with zero bank fees? If you believe banking tyranny must end, then join the digital currency movement now. Call investigative journalist Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Resurrect Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, Republic Broadcasting Network. Folks, I'm going to continue with the interview from Blaine Cooper from the Multnomah County Jail. Roll that clip.
Right. Well, even look at the CCA, the Corporation Corrections of America, and how they have a prison for profit prison thing. A lot of these CCAs, where specifically where the monies are being held, are actually owned by federal judges. So they have huge motive to try to incarcerate as many people as they can in there. It's a big money maker. It creates government jobs. It creates the corporations can make money by giving toothbrushes and, you know, sandals and clothes for the inmates. It's crazy.
I'll be praying.
There's a good video you can watch called Prison for Profit, where they were literally had a motive to enslave thousands and thousands of children for doing pretty much nothing. It's a video you can watch. It's very spooky.
You mean
kids for
cash?
You mean
kids
for cash? 2 million in bribes. To enslave our children.
Yeah, that was Kids for Cash. That happened in Pennsylvania, but
yes,
it's happening all
cash.
Over. Yeah, I'll put the link of that. In the
it's going to hang up. I'll call right back.
Okay, I'll put the link for that in the description of this video or this audio for people who are listening or people that are watching.
Thank you for using Securus. Goodbye.
All links that we talk about, we'll try and add to the description in the next day, couple days or so when we release this. If you have any, let me know, Laz.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. We'll team up on everything.
Yeah.
Now, I know that, that this political position that you and I have regarding Bar Association, I understand that it's contended by people on both sides. But these are people that are not looking into our congressional records and our nation's history, the government's documents themselves. I mean, we have countless examples of usurpations and abuses that have, you know, we've had senators along the way, representatives that have stood up on the House floor, that have cried out and trying to support the of the American people, and essentially they've been memorialized, however ignored.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, Blaine. Go ahead.
You know, the education in this country, too, people really need to start studying the history of it. I don't know if people really realize, in this country, we actually had two constitutions. I would argue three with the Act of 1871, which formed a separate form of government for the District of Columbia. But if you go back, we had the Articles of Confederation from 1781 to 1788,
yep.
Which delegated more power to the states rather than to a central form of government.
Yes.
But an interesting event happened between that time, which is called Daniel Shays' Rebellion, or Shays' Rebellion, which happened in 1786.
Yep.
And it was the same story there. Banks were giving loans to people who couldn't cover the cost. They were super high interest rates. And so Daniel Shays, because their courts were foreclosing on their funds because they couldn't produce enough to pay that. So it was the first protest of economic injustice. Daniel Shays led men into courthouses and armed and shut down the courthouses so that the judges could not foreclose on their property.
No.
So predatory. There wasn't enough power delegated to a central form of government, they had to dispatch militia in the state to dispel the rebellion. And so that's why we actually, out of that, we get the constitution we have today. Well, of then.
Yes,
the Constitution today has been changed a bit.
Well, you look back to the Battle of Athens, Tennessee, when you had that public official who was trying to rig the vote. What happened? A bunch of veterans got together. They went to the town armory. They armed themselves, and they went and surrounded the building that the sheriff, I think it was a sheriff, was posted up into with all of the ballots. And, you know, there was gunfire that erupted. And they managed to get the ballot box back. None of those men went to prison under the whatever
right,
death
right,
penalty.
Exactly.
You know, a death penalty.
I have to walk down now. It's been great talking to you guys.
Yeah.
Pray for me.
I'll pray for you, brother.
All right. Thank you, brother.
All right. Well, folks, there you have it. That's Blaine Cooper from jail.
The caller has hung up.
And it's a sad story that we see unfolding, and I hope that you rally behind Blaine Cooper. We're going to bring you updates from time to time as we can get them to you. This is Tom Lacavera-Stewart and Lazaro and Sonaro for Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Media, resurrectthe republic.com.
Well, I think you guys get the idea. resurrectthe republic.com. You know, this entire situation where the Bundys are picked up, the far more serious charges were in Oregon. And those charges, the jury sat, they considered the evidence that was presented to them by the prosecution, and they spoke, and not guilty was the answer. You have a right to an attorney. Now, while some may say when you're charged with a criminal offense, you have a right to an attorney, well, what does that mean? Well, it means a little bit more than you have a right just to be assigned some schlep that works for the courts as an officer of the courts, who is essentially going to give you a fraudulent or fake defense. In other words, they have to act in good faith. Now, I would ask anyone else, if you hired an attorney and paid an attorney and an attorney instructed you, A, to lie under oath. Now, you, if you had the money, you can fire him, get another one. Well, when you're in a position where you're appointed an attorney, it's not that easy. You're, first of all, being held in jail, being kept from your family, so you're under duress right off the get-go. Blaine never illustrated that he was any threat to anyone. He never carried a weapon. He carried a camera. And I don't care really what the standoff was about. That was found not guilty. And at Bundy Ranch, it was far less of a scenario of a tense situation as it was in Oregon. To assume or to claim that someone who carries a camera and who's weapon is a computer laptop and a YouTube account and an alternative media entity, I don't think that any reasonable argument can be made that shows that this individual is a threat to society. However, Blaine Cooper remains in jail, unable to face these charges, walking into the courtroom under his own feet, or being able to go and seek out a competent attorney from the street. So he is forced to take the attorney that they assign him, and then the attorney that they assign to him does not even have the investigator who would have been being paid, who, by the way, contacted Blaine Cooper from jail and asked him to release him from his services with a signature, which led Blaine to be able to investigate. Well, what discovery did you get? Well, I didn't really do anything. Well, if you didn't really do anything, then why do I need to release you from your services? Why would I need to do that if you didn't do anything? You were assigned to the case to do something, yet you didn't do that something, and you want to be released from responsibility? I don't think so. As a matter of fact, I would be wanting to know, who instructed him to stop? This attorney, to give someone advice, you need to first analyze and investigate your case. You can't go by a couple words on a piece of paper and give someone advice. That is not competent legal advice. So again, we have a situation where, you know, as many people that want to laugh at people for pointing their finger at the Bar Association, you have a monopoly stranglehold over a court. The only chance that people have, the only chance is with that jury. If they can make that jury see the corruption and the injustice that's going on, and if they can't, because you have the judge, you have a prosecutor, and you have a defense attorney that are all officers of the court, essentially, that's kind of a little totalitarian-ish. The only thing that makes it totalitarian-ish is the fact that this Bar Association, that you know, it is an organization that serves itself. Now, my father was a judge and an attorney. Yet, when I went and I spoke to an officer in Georgia over this situation with a friend who was trying to bring public officials up on charges for openly and outwardly violating the law, and he could prove it. As soon as he mentioned the Bar Association, the cops, who don't have a fraction of the IQ that this group that was standing in front of them had, all rolled their eyes like, oh, here they go again, talking about the bar, this conspiracy theorist. Yes, us conspiracy theorists. The only problem with their theory is that none of them have been able to articulate how any of us are incorrect. They use that term, conspiracy theorist, as if that was the be-all that ends all and explains away all of their bad behavior. We have showed on this program how many urban, at very least, urban law enforcement agencies have intentionally began hiring officers who were dumbed down, essentially with lower IQs. And the way they get around doing this, the way they get away with it, they made an argument in court, and the argument in court was so retarded. The argument in court is that they don't want them to become bored with their job and move on to another job after they put out the money to train them to be officers. Let's think about that for a minute. The last time I checked, all law enforcement officers at the highest levels ascend to the highest levels. Why? How? By coming up through the ranks. Some of them come from other departments, some of them move, some of them flow. So essentially, if you wanted an officer to stay within a career, if you wanted to give him training and you didn't want him to become so bored with the job that he left the job and went elsewhere, what you would do is you would make a stipulation in their contract that if they're going to train you and put the money and invest in your training, that you would have to stay with that company or that, and that is what it is, a corporation, you'd have to stay with that police agency for a certain amount of years after your training. That would solve the very problem that they ended up arguing in a court. And whatever judge, I have to research this, but I know that this is a fact, whatever judge found that they had the right specifically to discriminate against people with higher IQs in this job, while affirmative action allows them to discriminate against people because of the color of their skin to try and overcompensate, and we all know where that goes. They talk about no discrimination. Well, that discrimination is if you are white, if you are intelligent, and or if you are conservative, well, then that means that they can discriminate you all they want. You see, they want their cake and they want to eat it too, and 9 out of 10 college professors are liberals. Do you understand the balance there? 9 out of 10 college professors are liberal. We are pumping out so many liberals out of these colleges that they really should actually have a complete stranglehold on the entire country at this point. The fact that everybody voted for Donald, well, as many people voted for Donald Trump knowing this, knowing that for the past 30 years this imbalance has been going on, shows that by only a miracle, do we have now. And keep in mind, I'm you know who I am, you know what I'm about. You know exactly what this show is about. You know that we view this unlawful jurisdiction that was created and a snowball rolling downhill from 1868 on is really rather a de facto regime. So I get sometimes sidetracked. Sometimes I have to take the audience and say, yes, I'm speaking about presidential politics and the federal government and all of this, and there's a reason for this. Of course, they will label me as anti-government, but I am no such thing. I am pro-Republican. The problem is that they departed from the republic form of government in 1868. That is the fact. And after doing so, they have been going down a course, taking a course that leads us to these many communist goals to take over. Communitarian, communist, fascism, it's all leftist. People like to say, well, fascism is a manifestation of the right. Well, no. Adolf Hitler was fascist. And I'm sorry, but the National Socialists were a leftist organization. National what? National what? National socialism. Corporate fascism and socialism and communism kind of go hand in hand tit for tat. Pro-liberty would be more accurately described. Now, you see the political scale they have. People on the left, progressive leftists, and then they have people on the right, and they like to try and make it seem as though fascism is on the right and Marxism, communism is on the left. That's not true. Fascism, Marxism, Leninism, all of that, that's all leftist. To the right is it, all the way to the right is pure anarchy. It means no government. And as you get a little bit of government and a little bit more government, that's where you find your true conservatism. The more you get towards the extreme left, you find your way going through fascism into overt socialism, into progressivism. That is the true political scale that they don't teach kids in political science classes. That is the information that they withhold from people, and they try and teach this false right-left paradigm, and they have so many people who think that they're Republicans and think that they are so-called capitalism is another manifestation of Karl Marx and the left, Das Kapital. Capitalism today is more likely a fusion of leftist fascism. Corporate fascism is corporatism, really. It is not right. It is not conservative. True conservatism is anarchy, is no controls, is the free market. The market decides, supply and demand, as little government intervention as possible. That's nowhere near what fascism is. So you see, they try and take folks like myself and lump us in with fascists. And they have groups that do this intentionally. Notice how the KKK itself was created by the Democrat Party, a leftist organization, yet they took on overt fascistic ways, and they try and fuse themselves now with the right. So now Trump is KKK, Trump is racist. Oh, the KKK endorsed Trump. Well, let me see. If I was part of a secret society trying to really gain a stranglehold on the United States, how would I smear a presidential candidate who is really more for liberty or libertarian or, you know, the actual conservative-ish scale? What I would do is I would create an organization that was so heinous and so ugly, and then I would essentially, like a tick on a dog's behind, attach myself to it, and I would wait for candidates that came along that really weren't very much communist and didn't really much flow with political correctness, and I would endorse them. Why? Because my endorsement smears them, and it gets every idiot in the country who knows nothing about political science taking to social media believing in this absolute garbage. I see on my pad here, tell me that this is correct, that Chris is here. Is that correct? Okay, he did call in though, right?
I'm here.
Okay. Oh, that's good. I was concerned. I was concerned for your well-being today, sir. I'm glad to hear your voice.
Well, there was probably some concern we'll do if I had... It was really what I anticipated, although regrettably it wasn't what I had wished for, of course, was an honest, true agent looking for the facts of the criminality that I was there to report, although it did turn into a hostile, adversarial attack with false allegations, false insinuations, and attempts to frame me and do a Chris Dorner on me or a Lavoie Finicum on me is what I observed.
Well, do me a favor, Chris. Let's take us back just for a second and explain to people what exactly you were speaking of that went on today so that they'll understand the context by which your comments are framing.
Well, as you know, I was a victim of a terrorist attack by a gang of thugs masked as zone Nazis and police who did a Grand Theft Auto at gunpoint, armed robbing me of a collectible 1957 Dodge Hemi automobile, very valuable collector car, $18,000 to $28,000 as it sets, original condition.
Yeah.
And because of that, I had sought out the U.S. attorney, thinking that might give me some avenue of relief. And, of course, I was immediately colored as a sovereign citizen because I have a large vocabulary of law terms. I'm very deeply studied in law, as you know.
Yes, sir.
I probably understand common law better than most people on the planet. I won a couple of pretty good cases in the past, beating zone Nazis in particular, which is what this is about. These public officers who trespassed on my land three or four times, one of them actually stole something. I observed it on the camera. I think it was a child's Pez dispenser of some collectible value. Who those that are interested in those things, and there are quite a number of people that are.
Right.
Irrespective of that, I challenged him, and, you know, you have to have a warrant. You have to have an actual complainant. And there has to be some articulable danger for them to come onto your private property without a warrant. Something that really poses a substantial material danger and threat to actually doing harm to someone if the dangerous activity is not mitigated. And, you know, that we can maybe tolerate. But having the weight lifted off the heavy Hemi engine to take it off the tires that are wide whites that would collapse due to the sun here in the desert southwest, which is pretty extreme, raising it up a few inches, yet the tires still making contact with the concrete, could hardly be declared to be dangerous by anybody that understands anything about basic automobile mechanics, in my estimation. The only thing that could happen would be the suspension might collapse 3 to 4 inches to its normal sitting position, as opposed to being raised up to remove the weight like it was, that they deemed to be, in their conflicted vision of being self-interested in finding violations on me particularly, I was targeted in this event specifically, to try to claim that was a dangerous condition that required them to abate the dangerous hazard of my classic car on the private driveway. I paid extra so I'd have a place to park them 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, so after they had stolen my car at gunpoint, I mean, there were somewhere between 13.
You know what?
18.
I'm gonna hold you right there. You know what? We're gonna start this fresh from the top of the hour. Folks, we're going to be starting, for those of you that are listening by Spreaker, we're going to be starting in podcast, so you're going to want to switch over if you're listening by Spreaker. Chris, sorry to interrupt you there. We'll be right back after a few words from our sponsors, Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast on RBN.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.